Good afternoon. If you will allow me about 25 minutes, then I'm going to be done. Now that means that you have to follow me from the beginning. You can't tune out and say, all right, I'm going to come back in 10 minutes because you're going to miss half of it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, still our hearts and quiet our minds, and help us now for these few moments that we focus upon you, that we focus upon your word, that it may change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Whenever we go out to purchase something, to possess something, there are a number of questions that we ask. We will ask, how much does this cost? We want to know what the price is. You know, we want to know, does this look good? We're interested in its looks and in its appearance. And we ask a number of questions when we head out to purchase something. But the question that's most important of all is this question: will it work? Will it work? If you go out to buy an automobile, it doesn't matter how good it looks, how well it's equipped, if it won't run. If it won't run, everything else about it is meaningless. If you go out to get a refrigerator, it doesn't matter what the sale price is, doesn't matter how cheap you can get it, if it doesn't keep anything cold, everything else is meaningless. You see, in everything, the real test is, will it work? Will it work? Now, what I'm suggesting to us tonight is this: that when it comes to a person's religion, to a person's faith, we need to give it the same test. Will it work? Because a religion that doesn't work is meaningless. It's as useless as a refrigerator that won't keep anything cold. So what I want to do tonight is I want to share with you four tests that will tell you whether or not your faith is working for you. Now, I need you to take a Bible because we're going to go to some places. The first test, number one, the first real test in your faith tonight is this: the test of transformation. The test of transformation. Now, look with me in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2. Paul begins the chapter, therefore. That is, this is the conclusion based on what he's been talking about, and what he's been talking about is justification by faith. Therefore, I urge, that is, I beseech, I'm begging you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Listen to me, brethren. We need to understand the Lord's ownership of us. Our bodies are, we are living sacrifices. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And because of that, we need to glorify God in our bodies. He says, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Listen, the test of transformation. Now here's what I mean. Your faith ought to make you a better person. Your faith ought to make you a better husband and a better father. Your faith ought to make you a better wife and a better mother. Your faith ought to make you a better co-worker. Your faith ought to make you a better neighbor. Your faith ought to make you a better person. It ought to make you a better person. I'm talking about transformation. I'm talking about the fact that when we become Christians, this change that comes upon us, and if there isn't this change that comes upon us, listen, your faith isn't working. It isn't working. Now, how does this change happen? Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5, I tell you, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Apostle Paul said in the city of Athens, standing on Mars Hill, addressing the intellects of his day, in Acts 17 and verse 30, Paul said, and at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. This transformation, this change comes about because we repent. Well, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of conduct. That's what repentance is. Repentance demands that if I am a thief, I stop stealing. Repentance demands that if I am a liar, I start telling the truth. Repentance demands that if I am immoral, I start living pure. Now look what he says in verse 2. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. What does that mean? What that means is that our faith ought to cause us to live on a higher standard than the world does. That's what that means. If I'm not living on a higher standard than the world does, my faith has not passed the real test, and the real test is it working? Is it working? But here's what we think. We think, well, as long as I can stay a step behind the world, then people can tell the difference, and that's okay. But here's what happens. The world continually gets worse. Amen. It's a mess. The world continually gets worse, and what we say is, well, okay, as long as I stay a step behind, it's okay. But look how much worse we've become. There's got to be more than just a step between us and the world. If my faith is not causing me to live way above the standard of the way the world lives, my faith is not working. There is the test of transformation. How do I know if my faith is really working? Here's one of the answers. How do you live? Your lifestyle. Test number two is the test of personal satisfaction. Personal satisfaction. Now here's what I mean. Does your faith satisfy you? Now listen to this sentence carefully. This is not the most important test, but this is a valid test. Now, there's two scriptures I want you to look at. First, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to Gentile Christians. Gentile Christians. In Ephesians chapter 2, when you begin the chapter, Paul talks about their lifestyle before they became Christians. And Gentiles were very immoral, very sinful, and he describes the craving of the flesh and all of this. Now, look at verse 13. Ephesians 2:13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar away, that is the Gentiles, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now here's the verse I want, chapter 2, verse 14. For he, that is Christ, for Christ himself is our peace. Listen to me. Jesus is the Christian's peace. Listen. I'm talking about the test of personal satisfaction. Jesus is my peace. Now, second passage. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Watch this. Paul says, same writer, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we were justified through faith by the sacrifice of Christ, therefore we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now put those two verses together. Jesus Christ is the Christian's peace, and it's through Jesus Christ that we have peace with whom? We have peace with God. Do you see that? Listen. Does your faith satisfy? Does your faith make you happy? Does your faith give you that sense of value and sense of achievement? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Here is a man writing a letter from a prison, from an underground dungeon in Rome. And in that four-chapter letter of the book of Philippians, over and over again, Paul is talking about joy and rejoice and rejoicing and joy and rejoice and rejoicing. Listen, if my faith makes me miserable, my faith is not working. Now let me say this, and we're going to move on. Too many Christians are miserable. Too many of us are miserable. Now look, I'm not talking about where we go through times when we're down and times that we don't feel as good as others. I'm talking about people who just stay in a state of being miserable. Listen, you're missing something here. You don't have this. Because in that same letter of Philippians, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And the writer of Hebrews says, having food and clothing, let us therefore be content with such as we have. I'm talking about personal satisfaction. I'm talking about personal happiness. And according to the Bible, joy and happiness isn't dependent upon my circumstances. Joy and happiness is dependent upon my relationship with Jesus Christ, who my whole faith is built on. If I'm not happy, my faith's not working. If it's not working, there's not something wrong with the faith. There's something wrong with me. So look what we have. We have the test of transformation. If I'm not different than I used to be, something's wrong. Something's wrong. There is the test of personal satisfaction. If I'm not understanding, what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has done for me and the effect that that ought to have in my life and my happiness and my purpose and my satisfaction, I'm missing this. Test number three. The real test, is it working? Test number three is the test of truth. The test of truth. If my faith is not based on truth, it's not working. And if my faith is not based on truth, this book, even if it is working tonight, it's not going to work at all. Now, I want you to hear this. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, probably 99.9% of the people in this room can quote that verse. Jesus said it. You shall know the truth shall set you free. But here's my sentence. Familiar scripture needs to be studied more carefully. What does that verse say? That verse says, number one, there is a body of information that is called truth. You shall know the truth. What does that verse say? Secondly, that verse says that there is a bondage. There is a bondage that only this body of information known as truth can free you from. You shall know the truth and it shall set you free. Well, then that means I have to be in bondage. There is a body of information that's known as truth. But secondly, there is a bondage that only this body of information can set me free from. That's the bondage of sin. But thirdly, this teaches that the only way this body of information known as the truth, the only way it can set me free from my bondage of sin is if I know it. You understand? The test of truth. Jesus said in John 14 and in verse 6, now watch this, John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except by me. What does Jesus mean? What did he mean when he said, I am the truth? What he meant by that is Jesus is the truth because it was Jesus who revealed the truth. John chapter 1 verse 14, John chapter 1 verse 17, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, in John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth." The test of truth. If my religion is not based on the truth of that book, it's not working. It can't work. But here's what happens in the religious world. What happens is that people assume two things that they should not assume. What people assume, number one, is that we can worship God any way we please, and as long as we're sincere about it, that's all that's going to matter. That is a huge assumption, and that assumption is totally wrong. Again, Jesus said in John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a truth test. So that's the first assumption. As long as we're sincere, we can do what we want. No. The second assumption is that people assume that if they come to the house of God on Sunday, that they can then leave and live any way they please. I can live my own life. No, you can't. The prophet said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, "It is not in man himself to direct his own steps." So you can't. The real test is, does it work? Will it work? I don't care how good the car was. If it doesn't run, I don't want it. I don't care what the sale price is on a refrigerator. If it's not going to keep anything cold, I don't want it. It doesn't work. And the religious world is running around, and it's filled with people who have all kind of religions, but it won't run, and it's not keeping them cool, and it's not working. Test number four
is the test of the final judgment. The test of the final judgment. The first three tests, the test of transformation, change in my life, the test of personal satisfaction, where am I at personally with what I believe with God? Those two tests, and the third test, the test of truth, those three tests are important. But let me make this very clear. The most crucial test, the greatest test, is a test that is still to come out there in the future. That's the test of the final judgment. Jesus said in John 12 and in verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days." Listen. If my faith fails when I come face to face with my Lord, that will be the greatest failure of all. That's the greatest failure of all. Now stay with me for about 2 minutes here. The only tests that a lot of people concern themselves with are the first two tests. Does it change my life, and does it make me happy? And with a whole lot of people, the only test they're concerned with is the second test, does it make me happy? But all of these tests are important. All of these tests are important. And the key for all of us
is do not wait to find out until after it's too late if your faith is not working. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 11 concerning the Christians in the ancient city of Berea, the Bible says that they searched the scriptures daily to see if whether or not the things that were being told was the truth. You know what they did? They investigated it. They investigated it. Is what we're told the truth? Is what we're putting our hopes in the truth? Is what we're putting our eternities in the truth? What were they doing? They were testing what they were hearing. They were investigating to make sure that we get this right. The one thing you better get right is your faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, Paul said, "Let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith." Let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith. You need to take the test. You need to take the test. The test of transformation. Has my life been transformed? I don't mean from the outside. I mean from the inside out. Because if all you change is from the teeth out, that change will not last. But you change your heart and your body's going to follow. It'll follow. There is the test of personal satisfaction. I have a happiness, I have a contentment, and I have an assurance, and absolutely none of it is based on me and what I think. It's based on the Word of God. There is the test of truth. Christianity, I told my Sunday school class this morning, Christianity is not some kind of an abstract theological jargon. Christianity is based on history. Christianity is based on the truth, and I can find out the truth. And then there is the test of the final judgment. That's the most important test of all. Because if I fail that, all else is failed. If you're here this afternoon in this assembly, and if you're not a New Testament Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. Hearing the Word of God, hearing produces faith, believing with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting, confessing Jesus, being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight, as maybe all of us are as Christians, but your faith hasn't passed the test, you need to fix this. You need to fix this. Because a lot worse than buying a car that's no good or a refrigerator is no good is holding on to a faith that isn't sustaining. If you're here tonight, you need to respond. You can do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.